Tonight, as the grim specter of war hovers threateningly over both our horizons, we bring you a man whose whole life has been spent in the service of his country. He is Burton K. Wheeler, United States Senator from Montana. Senator Wheeler speaks to you tonight under the auspices of the America First Committee, a strictly nonpartisan organization of loyal American citizens who believe that the welfare of this country depends on keeping out of foreign war in Asia or in Europe. This committee actively urges the support of political candidates, whether Republican or Democratic, who will use their influence and their votes to keep America out of wars abroad. The America First Committee acknowledges that many sincere and patriotic Americans believe in sending aid to a belligerent, believe that war is inevitable. But war is not inevitable. No nation or no group of nations dare attack a prepared America. And the preservation of our democratic liberties depends on our defending America first, last, and always. The America First Committee is supported by voluntary contributions of time and money from the American public. Its acting chairman is General Robert E. Wood of Chicago. Among the members of the National Committee are such unimpeachable patriotic citizens as General Hugh S. Johnson, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, Hanford McNider, Mrs. Burton K. Wheeler, John T. Flynn, Miss Catherine Lewis, Bishop Wilbur E. Hamaker, William R. Castle, and Lessing Rosenwald. The message which Senator Wheeler brings you tonight is vitally important. Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Burton K. Wheeler.
Those who advocate war have become more bold in recent weeks. Not so long ago, they hid behind that smokescreen of all aid short of war. Now, after months of propaganda, these people are beginning to crawl out from behind their false front and say openly, "Let's go to war." I do not believe that the United States ought to go to war. I do not believe that you, the American people, want to go to war. What country has attacked us? What country can attack us? For what cause are American boys to be asked to shed their blood and give their lives? Some propagandists will tell you that our democracy is at stake. It is. And the way to preserve it is to solve our own domestic problem. The American people ought to remember that the last war proved that you cannot save democracy on the battlefields of Europe or Asia. The United States was a small, weak confederation of four states when it gained its freedom from the most powerful autocratic nation in the world. Since then, for a century and a half, we have protected ourselves and maintained the Monroe Doctrine without the help of the British Navy. Since when has the British Navy been called upon to protect our shores from attack? When was it that a European power helped us to preserve freedom and democracy here in the United States? Are these people who urge stripping of our own defenses, patriotic Americans? Are these people really concerned with protecting America, with making her strong to resist aggression? There can be but one answer. Giving away our fleet and our air force tears down our defense, weakens us. I am for the defense of America first. That is why during the past 4 years, I have voted for the spending of more than $15 billion to build up our defenses. Remember the cold, hard, practical facts when somebody talks about our first line of defense being the British Navy. Our first line of defense is our own Navy and the expanse of the ocean that separates us from Europe and Asia. Our second line of defense is a powerful air force. Give America those and she can sit securely in a war-torn world, a beacon light of liberty and freedom in the midst of a ravenous fight for empire and booty. Who are these people who so enthusiastically demand that this last great democracy be plunged into war? Let us see who it is that shouts, "Let's go to war now." On June 10th last, 30 men and women met in New York. They always meet in New York. They urged that this country immediately declare war and called on all citizens who agreed with them to petition the government for a declaration of war. Who were some of these 30 whom the press headlined as notable? Why, let us see. A 43-year-old author and newspaper editor who spent 5 years in London. He wouldn't be a conscript. A 51-year-old writer who has been a London correspondent and whose home, even now, is in England. He wouldn't have to serve in the American Army. A 41-year-old college president who was educated in England as a Rhodes Scholar. He, too, wouldn't be doing any fighting and dying in this war he urges upon America. A 62-year-old New York lawyer of great wealth and with important clients. Do you think he will shed any blood overseas when the war comes? A 73-year-old economist whose services in the last war consisted of sitting at a desk in Washington. The draft won't touch him. But why go on? Economists, social workers, writers, lawyers, college presidents, retired military men. These are the notables who boldly urge the American people to go to war. Months have gone by since their call, but there has been a noticeable absence of petitions from the American people demanding a declaration of war. Puzzled at this lack of enthusiasm for war, these people have gone to the radio and the press with more fervent appeal. Come. Come, they say. Come to war. It's our war, by the steps we have already taken. Let's make an open declaration of war. But these people aren't really American and don't think like Americans. And so they overlook one important fact. They forget that American enthusiasm for war has been cooled by the memory of the last war, by the memory of $40 billion, back-crushing debt that piled on them, by the memory of the bones and blood of 126,000 American boys left rotting in France, by the memory of 234,000 other American boys gassed, shell-shocked, and shot, who to this day lie in narrow cots in hospitals that dot their land. No, the American people were fooled once, but they're not going to be fooled twice by the same old slogan. You people ought to be wary of these fine phrases and fancy catchwords. Don't they have a familiar ring? Is it so hard to remember 1916 and 17? Turn back to the newspapers of those days and see the self-same arguments to get us into war. Think for yourselves. The interventionists want to get us into this world war. If they can't get us in through the front door of Europe, the back door of Asia will do. For now, we are told that we must go to the defense of Siam and Indochina. How many Americans are there in Indochina? What is our stake in Indochina? We didn't go to war when Japan bombed one of our gunboats on the Yangtze River and killed American sailors. One of our battleships cost more than our whole investment in the Orient. Is it then our interest that we are now asked to protect in the Orient? Or is it somebody else's domain. I would be willing to fight to protect American lives in the Orient, but I don't want to sacrifice American boys to protect some other country's possessions. You Americans to whom these interventionists appeal, you citizens who are going to do the fighting and the dying, if these un-Americans have their way, you fathers and mothers who have sons to give in this cause, you young men whose blood and bones may soon fertilize more of Europe and Asia's acres, you Americans against whom the cards are being stacked, hear me. Hear me while there still is time. If it is war you people want, then at least go into it with your eyes open. If it is war that you want, then listen to roving ambassadors and retired admirals and generals. If it is war that you want, then think now, not afterward, of the death and the destruction, of the poverty and the misery that war brings. Realize now that war means the end of our democracy, the end of all democracies. That sitting complacently by, watching hopefully for each nation to exhaust itself, is a powerful communistic state whose announced goal is worldwide communism. Is this the goal that you want?
Thank you, Senator Burton K. Wheeler, for your enlightening analysis. You have helped us clear away some of the smoke screens that becloud our thinking. You've shown us there's a very real danger of being pushed headlong into somebody else's war. Ladies and gentlemen, war for America is not inevitable if we mind our own business. Let us not forget the cost of war. Let us stop this trend toward war. Let us build our defenses, build them strong, and keep them by all means for America. Write your congressman today to use all his influence for peace, not war. The America First Committee is working night and day to wake up the American people to the dangers which confront them. The committee needs money to carry on this work, to carry this message to all. Any contribution, 5 cents, 10 cents, a dollar, any amount is welcome and will help. If you believe that our crying need is to keep America sane while the rest of the world goes mad, help us. If you believe that our crying need is to defend America first, help us. Send what you can now to the America First Committee, Board of Trade Building, Chicago. Our democracy is at stake. Help us in our cause, your cause. America's cause. But do it now.
My cause.